Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode, we're going to look at how to ride a crazy horse. Now, this is a question that we actually got asked from one of our website readers. They actually emailed us saying, how do we ride a crazy horse? Now, we weren't quite sure whether they were being serious or whether it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it still warranted a podcast episode and a post. Because harmony between horse and rider is crucial in dressage if you want to enjoy high scores and positive comments. And a disobedient, resistant, or just plain crazy horse will never do well in dressage. So what makes crazy horses, well, crazy, and how do you ride a crazy horse? That's what we're going to talk about in today's podcast episode. So firstly, what defines a crazy horse? Well, there are several behaviours that can cause a horse to be labelled as crazy, and all of those behaviours have different causes and solutions. But the ones that we're going to look into in this podcast episode are bucking, rearing, spooking, bolting, and hot horses in general. But before we go into them, there's a few common denominators that you should check first before you do anything else. So if your horse is showing any of those behaviours, the first thing to check for is physical pain. Because a very common cause of bad or naughty behaviour that often goes unrecognised by the rider is the horse's discomfort or pain. And that's often the case when the horse's behaviour changes suddenly or for no apparent reason. Now, for that reason, whatever the variety of craziness your horse is exhibiting, we strongly advise that you get your horse thoroughly checked over by your vet, a qualified equine physio, and an experienced equine dentist before you think about taking steps to cure the problem that you're having. Now, many horses are labelled as having issues and being crazy when the problems are purely down to some kind of physical condition, a minor injury, gastric ulcers, or dental problems that the rider is simply unaware of. Now, the next thing you need to check is your tack, because poorly fitting tack can inflict untold pain on the unfortunate horse that is forced to wear it day after day. So again, we stress the need for you to have your saddle and your girth double checked by a qualified saddle fitter. Also, a poorly adjusted bridle can pinch your horse behind his ears and under his chin, and the throat latch or curb chain that's too tight or incorrectly adjusted can cause your horse excruciating discomfort every time you pick up the contact. Now, there are also many different styles and combinations of nosebands to choose from that are dressage legal, and knowing how to fit them all can be a confusing minefield. So ask an experienced riding instructor or a knowledgeable friend to check that your noseband is correctly adjusted and it fits your horse properly. Now finally, the wrong choice of bit is sometimes a prime candidate for upsetting many horses. So it's a really good idea to ask a bit fitter or double check that you have the correct size, style, and thickness of bit for your horse. Now the third thing that you need to check is the day-to-day management of the horse. Because in nature, horses spend most of the time wandering for miles, grazing and foraging as they go, and expending energy at the same time. Now ideally, you should allow your horse to spend at least a few hours each day at liberty in a field or a paddock where he can burn off excess energy, enjoy a good buck and a run around without you on his back. Now, stable-kept horses and those that are on limited turnout can become frustrated and full of pent-up energy, especially if their diet is not adjusted accordingly. So, it's a little wonder that these horses can explode when finally taken out of their stables for exercise. And lastly, be very careful that you don't overfeed your horse with concentrates and high-energy forage. So choose hay or haylage that's been laboratory tested and shown to be low in sugar and high in fibre so that your horse can munch away happily all day without having a sugar rush the moment he's taken out of his stable. And the last preliminary check that we're going to talk about is confusion and frustration. Because if your horse gets confused and frustrated in his work, then that can cause him to appear crazy. Now, this often comes about when the horse is changing career. For example, an ex-racehorse will be used to living on a large yard with a very regimented daily routine. Now, if you take that same horse and you place him on a smaller yard with a more erratic day without transitioning him properly, he will probably become stressed. Now, if you ask that same horse to become a riding horse, learning a totally new set of aids, different tack, and a completely different job, you can see how this confusion and frustration might be construed as craziness. So make sure that confusion and frustration isn't the root cause of your horse's behaviour. Okay, so now we've got those out of the way, let's look at some behaviours individually. So firstly, bucking. Now, a horse that bucks can be frightening to ride, especially when the bucks come out of nowhere and you're not expecting them. Now, horses generally buck under the saddle for a couple of reasons, and we're going to look at both of them along with how to fix the problem. So the first one, and usually the most common one, is discomfort or pain. Because if your horse feels a sudden stab of pain in his back, he may buck as an instant reaction to that stimulus. So to fix the problem, you need to have a vet examine your horse to make sure that problems such as kissing spines, ulcers, or pulled muscles aren't the cause. And if your horse is physically well, it could be that your saddle or girth is pinching him. So have a qualified saddle fitter take a look at your tack and take any remedial action that is required to fix the problem. Now also, some mares can be inclined to buck when they're in season. And if that's the case with your mare, then it's worth having her scanned to make sure that ovarian cysts aren't causing her discomfort while she's in season. And your vet will be able to give you advice on what action to take. Now the second reason for bucking is frustration and freshness. Because sometimes a horse will buck if he feels stressed or under pressure. For example, during a training session, when you're teaching your horse a new exercise that he finds difficult, it could all come a little bit too much for him and he could throw in a buck. Also, it could be that your horse is feeling fresh and gets rid of some of his exuberance by bucking, often during an upward transition to canter. So to fix this problem, look at the management of your horse. So if your horse isn't turned out, it's sensible to lunge him before you get on board. Because often, once you've removed some of his freshness, the bucking will stop. Now, when you begin riding your horse, don't spend too much time walking around the arena. Get straight into a brisk, working trot and give your horse plenty to think about by riding changes of reins, circles, turns, and lateral work. Now, be careful not to allow the horse to back off your leg or drop his head. Now, if you keep the horse's head above the level of his knees, then you'll find bucking much harder. And if you feel a buck coming on, then bend the horse's neck to the inside and ride him onto a small circle, because it's next to impossible for a horse to buck whilst you have control of his neck. Okay, so the next crazy behaviour that we're going to look at is rearing, because horses that rear are dangerous. So in this section, we're going to look at why horses rear and how to fix the problem. So the first reason is blocking. Now some horses start rearing when the rider's contact is too fixed and is blocking. Now this happens when the rider tries to drive the horse forward into a contact, but the horse has nowhere to go. And if the horse is sensitive or hot, then he may try to escape the rider's confusing aids by going up into a rear instead. So how to fix the problem? Well, assuming that your horse's teeth are in good order, his bit fits in properly, and his tack is correctly fitted, and there are no other physical reasons for this behaviour, then you need to focus on your riding. Because if you're trying too hard to persuade your horse to work on the bit, your hand may be too blocking and fixed. So work on developing an elastic contact, not a hard blocking one. So revisit the scales of training and make sure that your horse is working forward from behind through his back before you try to soften his poll and encourage him to work into a rounder frame. Now the second reason for rearing is overexcitement. Now although most horses don't find dressage especially exciting, there are hot types of horses that often do. And sometimes if a horse is so hyped up that he doesn't quite know what to do with all that energy, he may come behind the bridle and rear. So how to fix it? Well, in these situations, you need to direct your horse into a circle, ease your hand forward and ride forward to encourage the horse to release the pent-up energy and follow the contact and not to hide from it. And the last reason for rearing that we're going to look at is napping. Now, rearing can become a habit in horses that nap. Basically, the horse refuses to go where the rider directs him, planting himself and rearing when the rider tries to drive the horse forward. So how do you fix it? Well, napping often happens when the horse has no respect for the leadership of his rider. Now, in that case, you may need to go right back to basics. So lots of groundwork, long reining and lunging should be carried out before beginning a complete revision of the horse's training under saddle. Okay, so let's move on to our next crazy behaviour, and that is spooking. Now, horses spook at many different things in many different situations, sometimes with no apparent logic behind their behaviour at all. Now, in the dressage arena, the horse might find the presence of a car somewhat alarming, or perhaps the buckets of flowers at each marker could trigger a spook, especially on a windy day. So how to fix the problem? Well, make sure that you've worked in enough before your dressage test. And if your horse is completely attentive and concentrating on you, he will be much less likely to spook at things. Now, if possible, do plenty of hacking and trail riding as part of your horse's work regime, because hacking out exposes your horse to lots of different sights and sounds that can really help to desensitize a spooky horse. Finally, continue the desensitization process at home by creating a handy pony course in your home arena containing as many spooky objects as you can find. So think flowers in buckets and cones, balloons attached to sticks, umbrellas, banners fixed to the fence, and a bright blue tarp on the ground held down by coloured poles. And start by leading your horse around the course and then move on to long reining him, and when he's confident, you can school him in the arena under saddle. Now, for more help on spooking, we do have other podcast episodes and blog posts on this subject. So you can search our website or our podcast archives for the episodes How to Deal with a Spooky Horse and also How to Desensitize Your Horse. But for now, we're going to move on to the next crazy behaviour, which is bolting. Now, a horse that bolts can be extremely scary to ride, especially if there's no indication that he's about to take off with you. Now, although bolting in a dressage test is a rare occurrence, it can sometimes happen while the rider is working in, especially if the warm-up arena is in a field. Now, horses bolt for various reasons, including a saddle that pinches, physical pain, or a sudden loud noise or a frightening sight. Now, when a horse bolts, his flight response goes into overdrive and he runs in a blind panic to escape the perceived danger. Now, unfortunately, if the rider becomes unbalanced and clings on for dear life, that can make the problem worse because the horse will keep running until he dislodges the frightening burden that he's carrying. Now, to permanently cure the problem, you need to work out what's causing the behaviour and then you can take the appropriate action to solve it. But if a horse does bolt with you, here are some tips to help you manage. Now, first of all, it's important to understand that you will never beat your horse on brute strength alone, and a tug of war will only have one winner. Also, if you are riding an ex-racehorse, the harder you pull on the reins, the faster your horse will run, because that's what he's been trained to do. So the safest way to control a bolting horse is to go with him, turning him onto a large circle and gradually decreasing the size of the circle as the horse slows down and you regain control. Now, don't make the turn too sharp as the horse could slip and come down on you, and use your leg and seat to keep the horse balanced and try not to tip forward. Now, if your horse takes off with you on a narrow trail where you can't turn a circle, then you need to employ the pulley rein technique. So use one hand to bend the horse's neck but without turning him, applying leverage with just one hand. And push your heels deep to anchor yourself and brace your fists against the horse's neck in front of his withers. Now, using opposite reins, pull smoothly up and back, directing the force towards your chest. And keep your hips slightly closed so that you can anchor your fists and give you leverage. So basically what you're doing is you're asking your horse to bend through his neck very smoothly to one side and then to the other. And then as you regain control, talk calmly to the horse and reassure him that everything's okay and the danger has gone. Okay, so the last crazy horse problem we're going to talk about is hot horses. Now, when correctly schooled and contained by a skillful rider, a hot horse can have an excellent presence in the dressage arena and often has presence to burn. However, the difference between a hot horse and a crazy one can be a very fine line. So how to fix the problem? Well, sometimes horses that are hot by nature can be calmed by providing them with plenty to do in the form of transitions, changes of direction, and riding complicated patterns. But a horse with that kind of temperament needs an experienced rider, especially in the early days of his training. Now, all too often, dressage judges see talented hot horses ridden by inexperienced, overhorsed riders, which is usually a recipe for disaster. So in a nutshell, when buying a horse, always choose one that suits your ability and experience. So to wrap this episode up, with a few notable exceptions, all crazy horses can be relaxed with a little thought. Now it's important that you first carry out the basic physical checks, tack checks, management checks and rider checks as we've outlined in this podcast, and then you need to turn to your building blocks of training. Now if you're still having difficulty with your horse, then we recommend enlisting the help of a qualified and experienced equine professional. But if you have any questions on this podcast episode, or if you have any other tips and experiences of riding crazy horses that you would like to share with us, then please feel free to leave us a comment at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. Alternatively, you can join our training forum, which you can find at howtodressage.com/community. But to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other books, our training diaries and competitions, please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you tuning in today to listen to our podcast and hope that you've got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff available on our website howtodressage.com and pop by Amazon for our range of equestrian books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.